Not a long sermon, you'll be glad to know. Yeah, I'll see you afterwards. There's a story of a group of animals who decide to start a school in order to just further their own welfare, really. And so the curriculum includes swimming and running, climbing and flying. Okay. So the duck is an excellent swimmer, but decides to build up the skills he's not so good at. So he spends all his time working on climbing and running, but spends so long doing those things that actually his swimming that he's so good at suffers. The rabbit, who's obviously the superior runner, was forced to spend a lot of his time in other classrooms and soon lost some of his famed speed. The squirrel, who had got an A grade in climbing trees, after the first term dropped down to a C grade because he'd spent all his time trying to fly. And the eagle was disciplined one day for soaring too high in the sky when he'd been told to stop it and learn how to climb, even though flying was the most natural thing for him. You know, we're all different, aren't we? People are different. That is the joy and the glory and the genius, as well as the frustration of being a human being. Some of us go through lives banging our heads, our own heads, against walls because we can't do something that we want to do, or we can't be like somebody that we want to be like. We all do it. I do it. I'm sure you do as well. The Apostle Paul, writing to the specific characteristics of the church in Corinth, shares insights in the reading Alison just brought to us that are just as relevant for us today. He observes in the church in Corinth a community that is fragmented. It's fragmented by those who have elevated their own particular gifts in a way that denigrates the gifts held by other people. In other words, they viewed themselves as more important. If I'm a duck, this is really deep theology, this. For the theologians among you, this is about ducks and squirrels. If I'm a duck, okay, for whom swimming comes naturally, I might want to learn to climb and run and fly. Well, the ducks do fly. But I am really a fool if I neglect my swimming, because that's the area of my giftedness. So if I'm a rabbit who comes by running naturally, I might take flying lessons, but I mustn't do it to the neglect of my running, etc., etc. Three basic principles, very, very quickly. Diversity and unity function together. Diversity and unity function together. Another way of saying this is that while we are not the same as each other, each of us is important to the health of the whole. Okay, does that make sense? Paul writes, just for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, free, all made to drink of the one Spirit. The body does not consist of one member, but of many. Baptism into the body of Christ really means, we can describe it in a number of ways, it really means to have a change of identity. When we come into faith in Jesus, we go through an identity change. We come to him with all the uniqueness that is ours in our personal, in our personality. And we become translated, if you like, from that individualistic existence into the body of Christ. So we go through an identity change. We stop being an individual, an island, a loner, and we suddenly become part of something bigger. So all of us sat here this morning, we are part of each other's existence because we are all part of the body of Christ. And of course, the head of the body is Christ himself. The head is the most important. The body cannot function in any shape or form without the head. And at the same time, there's a huge diversity. We come into the body of Christ with our uniqueness. Every single one of us is unique. The giftedness which is yours alone and nobody else's. And so each one of you becomes a very, very, very important part of the body. So the principle is diversity and unity functioning together. It's kind of a creative tension almost, because we tend to think of diversity as meaning we're different, therefore we can't work together. Okay? I can't do much with kids, so I'm not going out into messy church. Okay? It's that kind of sense of diversity. But actually, I love children very much. And I'm very interested in Sue's interest in children. And so, does that make sense? So suddenly, we become one. If you take away some organ of the body, this is obvious, you end up with a body that's incomplete. And so if any of you are transplanted out of the body of Christ, the body is incomplete because you are not there. And that applies to every single one of us. And that unity depends on you and I being the person that we were created to be. In fact, the health of the body of Christ depends on you and I functioning in the way that we were created to be. And sometimes we kick against that. God has made every single one of you unique, and me. And you know, for goodness sake, if you're a duck, quack, right? That's what you need to do. You need to quack if you're a duck. I mean, it's you know, if you're a leg, stride. If you're a shoulder, carry something. If you're a brain, think. But whatever it is we are called to, we can add to the body. The second thing is that being competitive leads to trouble. Being competitive leads to trouble. We need each other. And you and I are essential just as we are. Just as our brother or our sister in Christ is essential just as they are. It's really sad when we look at other people, whether in the local congregation or in the worldwide church, and we say, I wish I could be like them. I've done it many times myself, particularly with some of my favorite preachers across the globe, big names who stand on big stages and address big crowds to great effect. And I've often thought, wow, I wish I could do that. And you feel God saying, no, if I'd wanted you to do that, you would be doing that. We have to be who we are. You know, God makes no carbon copies. He specializes in originals. You are an original. And so the third thing to say is interdependence leads to a healthy body. Interdependence leads to a healthy body. Another way of saying that is that what affects one member of the body is felt by everybody. And again, the analogy is fairly clear. We're in it together. And we are not healthy as a body if we function individualistically. If we think, well, this is what I'm good at. I'm not interested in that bit over there. I don't have to get involved with that bit over there if I'm not interested in it. I might have no skills in that area, but I can be interested in the interest. I can be interested in the interest of others. And I can encourage the interest of others and be grateful that they're doing something that I wouldn't want to get involved with. But we can pray for them and talk to them and ask them, how's it going? Because really, the left leg will struggle if the right leg is missing. The head cannot say to the feet, I have no need of you. Not least because in Paul's analogy, the head is Jesus. Some parts of the body that seem to be weaker, the most indispensable. You know, there are two key points that Paul's making here. One is that there is nothing or no one who is too poor or insignificant to be an important part of the body of Christ. And the second thing he's saying is that nothing is so big or so important that it has to become independent. If you look at verses 14 to 20 of that reading, there is no reason to feel inferior. If you look at verses 21 to 26, there is no reason to feel superior. Interesting, isn't it? It's really, really interesting. You and I are made up of chemicals. We're not actually worth much as a human body. Oxygen, hydrogen, that's water and carbon and I don't know, all the other stuff we're made of. Calcium. We're dust, really. But it's only when God's breath is breathed into us, his ruach, his spirit, we become life. We don't become our life, we become his life. Because it's his breath that breathes into us. We are his. And we only live because he wants us to live. And we live because of his life inside us. And we are made to live for him and for each other. I'm just going to finish, because with time's going on today, and I'm not going to speak too long. But I just want to tell you just a little bit before we sing again about finish with this. The actor Christopher Reeve, some of you will remember. He was the first Superman, and he was paralyzed in a horse riding accident. And I think he's died now, but he spent a long time determined to get well. He was paralyzed from the neck down. And they would strap him to a cycle machine that ran itself to keep his limbs moving. And he was determined that eventually he was going to get back into movement again. But basically his limbs were not attached to his head. And whilst from the outside, because he's strapped to a cycle, it looks to the onlooker like he's actually doing okay. But he's not. Because he's not strapped to the head, to the source. And sometimes the church can be like that. Sometimes the church is the same. Sometimes we go through the motions and we look okay because we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're strapped to the machine. We're strapped to the mechanism. And we do it again and again and again and again, thinking if we keep doing this, something's going to change. But if we're not attached to the head who is Christ, we can do that for generation after generation after generation, and it comes to nothing because Christ is our head. And so we must be connected to each other. These chains around the table are a lovely illustration of connectedness. We must be connected to each other, and together we have to be connected to Jesus. We have to be connected to the Word of God. Liz gave a great illustration earlier. It's in there. It's in the book. Everything Liz needed, we needed as we were on the motorway to pray for our family, was all there. This is the word you need. This is it. This is the source. This is the place. This is Christ. This is him. He is the head. We must be connected. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing. And I'm going to cut this short, folks, if we may. Can we have the offering during the next... Who's doing the offering? Can we have the offering during the next song? That would be great. And then we'll sing a final hymn after that. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to be interlinked with each other. Forgive us if we're so individualistic that we cannot see our own place in your body. Help us. Help us, Lord. Help us to see the importance of our role, whatever it is. And we pray, Lord, that you will bless us as we grow together in your name. Amen. We stand and sing, Father, I pray.